40 days after Easter, the time had come for our Lord to ascend back to heaven. Several parishioners have asked me, well, if it was 40 days after Easter, shouldn't have that been this past Thursday, Ascension Thursday? Well, the answer is, the bishops of the province of Baltimore, like many other provinces in the country, have transferred Ascension Thursday to Sunday. I guess they thought Jesus needed more time to clear security before takeoff. I don't know. But I don't make the decisions. If I did, it'd be on Ascension Thursday. So be it. So the key is, in the Creed, we do profess that Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God the Father. With the Ascension, we see the completion of the saving action. So by the will of the Father, Jesus entered this world. True God became true man. In that mystery of the Incarnation, Jesus elevated our human nature to something even greater than Adam and Eve had. Also, Jesus, true God and true man, put a face on God. He perfectly revealed God's truth and God's love to us by word as well as his deeds. He experienced life as we live life, but showed us how to live life with faith in the love of God. His mission climaxed when he went to the cross. He offered the sacrifice that transcends time to forgive sins. Because of who he is, we can truly say, Jesus died for my sins and forgave my sins. He rose from the dead on Easter, therefore conquering not only sin, but suffering, death, evil itself. Now, after 40 days, he ascends to heaven. Here then, we have the hope that the promises of our Lord will be fulfilled. Jesus promised that if we live a life of faith, then we too will find a dwelling place in heaven that he has prepared for us. If we live our faith, then we too will share in the glory of the resurrection, one day looking forward to that perfect union of a glorified body and soul with our Lord, just as he had at Easter Sunday. We also have the hope because Jesus promised the apostles, I'll be with you until the end of the age. So our Lord, because of the ascension, is no longer locked into this particular point, this place. He's no longer bound by time and space. He can be with each one of us every moment, wherever we are. How wonderful. So truly, our Lord has given us these promises that give us great hope. Now, the apostles, as we hear, are given the command to go out. So this isn't so much an ending, but it's really going to be the beginning. Jesus said, now you're going to go out, make disciples, preach the gospel, baptize, and teach everything that I have commanded you. We hear that they doubted, for good reason. They would be alone in a sense, at least they think, and wondering how could they do this. So they waited. Next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost. We remember how the Holy Spirit came upon them, filling them with those tremendous gifts so that they could go out to that world, to places that were unknown, peoples that were unknown, and preach that gospel, founding our church, and they did so without fear, not even fear of martyrdom. The church continues on because Jesus is with his church. That's why we're here. So truly, today's a day of great hope. Hope in what Jesus has given to us and has fulfilled in his own life, particularly now the ascension. And yet, it's also a day of challenge. You and I, because of our baptism and confirmation, have to be the witnesses. And we have to be the ones that go out and make disciples, preaching the gospel not only by our words, our deeds, how we live our life. This is not easy. It never has been easy. Wasn't easy for the apostles. In our day and age, though, we see that we live in a culture that has become very secular. We live in a culture where we hear words to describe it like selfishness, self-centeredness, narcissism, hedonism, secularism, materialism, and so on. I think part of the problem is we've become so overwhelmed with technology. For all of its good, technology has brought isolation. So this past week, I think, the Nielsen Rating Company released a report. It was well publicized on ABC's program 2020, where it said that the average Americans on average spend 9 hours a day on screen time, whether that's the computer screen, the smartphone, DVD, DVR, tablet, television, whatever. Well, consider that. That brings us into an isolated world. If 9 hours are spent on screen time, add in sleep time, what's much left? No wonder so many people have become indifferent, if not outright have rejected, the need for God, of faith, of church. A disturbing statistic is that 75% of young people, 18 to 22, identify themselves as Christian, but only 50% of that number consider faith important. And of that number, then, it says that 75% of young people stop being with their church, whatever that church may be, after age 22. So there's a need for us to be those witnesses and to make disciples. Now, we don't just give in to gloom and doom, but rather we look and we see that we're here. We're here because we do believe. There is great hope. Here's the church that the apostles founded. We do what Christ taught. We look around and we see people of all ages. But how good it is to see young people raising their children in the faith, that gives us great hope. When I see how many young people go to our youth group on Tuesday night, 40 kids, how wonderful that is. People committed to the faith. But there is that challenge. But we should meet that challenge looking ahead to the Holy Spirit, because after all, the apostles did go out and convert a Roman Empire. So we can do the same. But as Pope Benedict said, when we talk about all this new evangelization and being disciples, being witnesses, it has to begin with the home. There's the key. Because we could look at the culture around us and think, oh dear, or we can say, I'm going to build a real Catholic Christian culture in my home and in my parish. So this begins then with who we are. We're called to be the faithful disciple and witness. This means, first of all, step one, we should commit ourselves to being holy, to being that best version of ourselves, to being one who really lives like he's made in God's image and likeness, one who lives like he's been redeemed by Christ. This is essential in our lives. To do that, we need God's grace. So if Christ is present around us and wants to be present to us, we need to open ourselves to that presence. That means daily prayer, the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, regular confession, reading sacred scripture, learning about our faith, being part of the parish community. Given that commitment, the next step is to be mindful each day we live a life of virtue. So we live those basic cardinal virtues of prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. That's how we live our life. We don't lower ourselves to just what might be popular. No, we're called to lift up, to be with Christ. We're called, as St. Paul said, to set our hearts on the higher gifts. With that, then, we look at the saints. If we need someone to emulate, we don't look to the rock stars or the athletes. Let's look to the saints. The saints lived in every century during tough times. They faced all the challenges we face. But they're saints. They lived that life of virtue. They struggled. And they, therefore, really grew in holiness. The last step, then, is that we really have to put it into action by always keeping in mind the priorities, having that balance of life, having self-control. So we might have our work part of life, that work day or our school day, but that has to be balanced with our family time. Family time has to be balanced with spending time with the spouse. And we have then time spent on kids. Time needs to be spent nurturing the marriage. When we look at all the blessings that we have, those material blessings, that's wonderful. But that has to be balanced with what we give back. What do we give back? To God, His church, those who are in need, not just in the sense of material resources, but in our time, our talent. In all these ways, then, you and I can become the good disciples. With that commitment, you parents especially have to take it to your homes and build that Catholic Christian culture where Christ is truly present. Of course, it's the regular take time for daily prayer, religious education, Sunday Mass, and so on. But now we begin summer officially on Memorial Day weekend, and school will be out in 2 weeks. Plan ahead. It's a great opportunity to really build that culture. For instance, one is Sunday Mass. I remember growing up, whether we took our vacation at Ocean City or went somewhere else, we always went to Mass. The first thing my parents did is find out where the Catholic Church was, find out the Mass schedule, we went to Mass. And what that taught me was God's number one. God's the priority. That's the culture that we want to have for our children. God is number one. He's important. Another way is to have time during maybe a trip to pray. So if you're going somewhere that might be 30 minutes, let's say, a family rosary. Why just listen to the radio or just do the electronics? Say a family rosary. Take a field trip. During the summertime, plan on going to the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception or the John Paul II Center, Franciscan Monastery. They're all right near each other. But that's a good way to see our culture, to learn, to spend time as a family. Have a game night. So play cards, play Monopoly. That's a good way to teach virtue with your kids, trying to not kill each other, in a sense, playing games, but really try to be good winners, losers, and all of that. It's a good way to teach virtue. Have a movie night. You know, our parish has subscribed to that organization called Formed. You can download, you have access to all these great movies, all this good Catholic instructional material. Have a movie night, especially about saints, or things like the Ten Commandments, and so on. And then also, you could have your kids participate in a church activity, like we'll have our little Bible week this June. Father Farrell has his fun day with Father Farrell. We have our youth group activities. Here, though, is the opportunity to build that culture. And that culture, then, is going to overflow to others in your neighborhood. This is how, then, we can meet that task of being the witness but making the disciples. Don't let it pass you by. I remember at the end of seminary, each year, we'd have what was called concoursus. So Cardinal Kroll, who was Archbishop of Philadelphia, would come out and we had prayers and there's all the final ceremonies and so on. But he always concluded with this.
Now remember, gentlemen, there is no vacation from your vocation.
Well, we need to remember there is no vacation from God. We want to live the promises of the ascension now, to be present with our Lord now, to set our hearts on the higher things, to live that life that is not sucked down into the muck or the swamp, but to have that life of Christ. And in so doing, one day, by his grace, we will ascend to heaven. May God bless you.